All right, and as stated previously, we are going to go ahead and share something a little bit different tonight. We usually have a Bible study devotion. We hear a message, a pre-recorded message, and that was not able to happen tonight. So I thought, you know what, we're going to go ahead and do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to share a couple of thoughts, and it has to do with us, Truth Church, and you and I, and everyone who's a part of Truth Church. And this is what I want to begin by saying, everybody. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for my church, for my pastor, our pastor, Pastor and Sister Clark. It's not just the pastor, is it? There's that the old adage of saying it says, behind every great man, there's a great woman. And I'm laughing because we heard it said that she's there supporting him and helping him. Boy, sometimes I think that a man who's doing a great work in God can get tired and weary, and oftentimes that woman has to come and pick him up when he's on the ground and he just doesn't feel the energy and strength to go forward. I'm not referring to our pastor, but hey, in every man and woman's life, there's going to come a time where you just feel like, I need a break. I need to stop and just catch my breath. But thank God that we have each other. And in this case, Pastor Clark not only has Sister Clark, but he has good people, the Rowells, Brother and Sister Rowell. And he has you and I that are going to support him. And I feel the Holy Ghost just saying that because this is the truth. We are all part of this body. We are all part of this church. And I want to just say thank you, to our church, to our pastor. And as I'm saying this, I want you to begin to, in your mind's eye, begin to see people around you, those that have been very close to you, one-on-one individuals that were closer to, you know, maybe a woman that we look up to if you're a woman, a man that we look up to if you're a man, and just think about that for a moment. Yesterday, and if you can't tell everybody, there's no notes here. Brother Vic took no notes. I just felt this here a few minutes before we did the devotion, started this tonight, and I thought, you know what, I got a couple of verses here I want to share, but this is all off the cuff, directly from the heart, what I'm feeling right now. Just yesterday, we heard a lot of testimonies from young people talking about mentors and elders and people that you look up to. And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's a father's age, 20 years older than you, 15, 30 years. No, it can be someone that's 5, 10 years old, 2, 3 years older than you that you look up to, someone that has been there for you. Sister Sapphire said some great things about her uncles and other men, and some of the other people that spoke up said some great things about other men and people in the church. But today I want to broaden it, not just men, women. I want to think about yourself. Oh, Brother Vic's talking about other people that, you know, that we can look up to. Everyone that's on this call is someone that can be looked up to. And I'm not going to pull out any names tonight, but there's some people on the call that I know of already that people look up to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but people look up to you. I might just embarrass someone here on the call in just a minute. I know about some newer people, some newcomers that are going through some hard things right now, going through some tough things, going through some challenging things. And this is something to talk about, everybody, because some of these new people, I won't mention the new people's names, but they're going through some hard things. But thank God that they've made a friend, a mentor, and someone, it could be a young couple or a man or woman in our church that they now look up to. And if we weren't there for them, if you weren't there for them, brother and sister, where would they go? They'd maybe just fall off right away. Oh, feel discouraged, feel depressed. I'm not going to make it. How in the world do these people stay in church for so long when I got all these challenges, trials, tests, and temptations in my life? But now they have someone that they can get a hold of. Okay, I'm going to embarrass someone. I'm thinking about a Sid and a Jessica right now. And the reason I'm bringing them up right now, if they're on the call, is because I know of a situation right now where there's some new people, some new converts that are coming into the church, and there's been some challenges that they're facing up against right now. And thank God they have someone like a Sid and Jessica who has formed a relationship, a bond, and developed a connection with them over the last period of months and over the last 6 months, maybe up to a year. And now these new people that are coming, hey, they have a fortress. They have someone that they can look up to and call on when they have a need in their lives. I'm going to go ahead and read a scripture now. And it is found in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Very simple verse. Look what it says. And let the peace of God Think about that. And let something, we got to allow this to happen. That's what the scripture says. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Boy, we can go on that that little phrase for a while. Just break down every word. Us, we've got to let this happen. It's not just that the peace of God is going to come in over. Sometimes it feels like that in a church service when you begin to worship God and you begin to feel that joy and that peace. And oh, it's so comforting. But here the scripture is saying we have to let that peace of God rule in your hearts. We got it. It's almost as if we have our own domain. We're our own king or queen of our domain. But we got to let that peace of God come in and take control. Let it rule in our hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body. Boy, it sounds like it deviates. It takes a big U-turn there. What is it talking about? To the which also you are called in one body. Oh, think about what I was just saying a moment ago. We're all one church. We're all members of the same body, and we ought to be thankful. And that's what it's saying. To the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's almost like three different thoughts this verse is giving. It's three completely separate, independent thoughts. Oh, but they all come together, don't they? To the which also ye are called. What do you mean, to the which also ye are called in one body? Let's go back to the first part of the verse. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Everyone, we got a reason. We got a reason to be thankful. Why? Because we've been called unto one body. And this whole body is joined in unity with what? The peace of God, if we let it rule in our hearts. Let's go back to what I was talking about just a moment ago. We have new people that are coming into the church who are now welcomed, invited into this one body. And they don't really know the ropes quite yet. They know what they feel. It feels good in the church when they in the worship service. They feel the touch of God. They begin to cry. They go to the altar call. There they are. I seen one the other day during the pre-service prayer, weeping before God. And myself, and there was Brother Sid with his hand on that new convert, and myself. And I could just see him, the person just weeping, tears coming down his head. We don't know what they're going through, anybody, but we do know what they're feeling. And they're feeling this touch of God, the anointing of the body, because they're learning to become part of this body. But they need a little bit of help. They need a little bit of help. And you and I have been here for, some of us have been here for a few years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years or more. We kind of know the ropes. We know how this works a little bit more. We got to learn how to reach out to some of these new ones that are coming in. What am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about you and I. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for my brothers and my sisters. You might, oh, Brother Vic, you've been here for a while. You know, hey, Brother Vic goes through some things as well. And I don't just look up to those that are older than you, have been here longer than I have. I want to let you know right now, there's times when I look to some of you that are younger and you've been here less time. Sometimes you provide that motivation for me. You provide that blessing. I feel the Holy Ghost just saying it's the truth. I feel that blessing. I feel that encouragement looking at some of you and thinking, look at them. They've only been here years, 3 years, 5 years or so. But their anointing is fresh. Ooh, look at the way they worship God with a newness of spirit. And they don't have things holding them down. They're not entwined with all the politics of situations of the church. And sometimes it's better not to know a lot of things, everybody. But you just come here for one purpose, one reason, and that is to touch God, touch the throne of God. There's no other motivations. There's no other things that are bogging you down. And there's people like Brother Vic and others like me that look up to you. Listen to what I'm saying right now, everybody. I'm not just saying this to pump you up with empty, vain words. I'm telling you the truth right now. You are a blessing. You, brother, you, sister, you are a blessing to someone like myself, an anti-pastor. Have you heard pastor every now and then say that when he's going through things, what, pastor goes through things? Yes, pastor goes through things. But he knows how to get a hold of God at the altar. True. But when you see someone like you come in and just lift up your hands and there's a lightness about you, there's an anointing, a fresh anointing upon you, that strengthens our pastor, everybody. That strengthens Sister Clark, everybody. That strengthens a Brother Vic, a Brother Rowell, a Brother Roseberry, someone else who's been, Brother Prime. Boy, let's talk about Brother Prime a little bit. We see him as an anchor, as an elder, and he is. And we ought to look up to him as an elder, as an anchor, as a pillar in the church. But you know what? He's a man nonetheless, and there's things that he goes through, and there's times that he's talked to me about some things, and I'm not saying that he's, you know, struggling, nothing like that at all. Hey, brother, but he'll say something, hey, Brother Vic, pray with me about this situation, about that situation. What's my point in saying that? Hey, he needs support, he needs help as well, and we're here to help each other. I'm going to read one more verse. I hope this is all right, everybody. I know it's a little bit different, and I didn't plan this here just 30 minutes ago, but here it is. We're going to read out of Psalms chapter 103, verse number 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. You can even look it up on your phone if you want. Psalms 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Boy, I love this. Every time I read this, it excites me. It motivates me. I was just talking to someone. Oh, Gustavo, the young man that came to church and found me a couple of weeks ago, and he needed help, and he was depressed and struggling. I run up against a brick wall, Victor. I don't know what to do. And I started talking to him about King David, who we look up to him as King David. And I started telling him this way. I said, you know, there was a man in the Bible about maybe 2,500 years ago or so, and he went through some struggles in his life, some terrible situations in his life, some bad things in his life, but God helped him through these situations in his life, and he was able to write these things down in his journal. He was able to write these things down in his personal agenda, his personal journal. And would you believe me if I told you, I told this young man, would you believe me if I told you that after he wrote all these notes, these commentaries, these testimonies of how God rescued him and saved him and helped him to get through all these terrible situations in his life, would you believe me if I told you that we were able to keep these, and over 2,000 years later, people, millions of people, and over the last 2,000 years, billions of people or more have been able to read this man's writings, his testimonies, his commentary on how God helped him. And I said, you know what I'm talking about? No, I'm not sure. I'm talking about David, King David. Hear what I'm saying, everybody. This is King David we're talking about, who was able to make all these testimonies. God rescued me. He saw me. I was able to hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against me. Oh, and his statutes, his testimonies and his statutes, I've learned to guard them close to my heart. And I will delight myself in the law of the Lord. Think about this. Well, I give you all that backstory to read you this verse, verse number 3. Verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everybody say benefits. You may be the only person in your room saying it, but hey, don't forget all the benefits we receive from serving the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, not some of your iniquities, not the little ones, but all of them, even the big bad ones. He who forgiveth all of thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. When we get sick, oh, and we call out to him, he touches us. And when we get hit with that serious infirmity, that sickness in our lives that lasts more than a day, more than a week, more than a month, we can still place our faith in our trust in him with all surety and confidence, knowing that he will deliver us. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and who crowneth thee with loving kindness. Think about that. Not just kindness, but loving kindness. In Spanish, my mind goes to the word ternura, tenderness, cariño, is like a caring love. Not just a kindness, but a loving kindness. That's how God loves us, everyone. And with his tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Right away we think of good things, like things that we eat. And it's true, who satisfies our mouth with good things. The Bible, in the same writer, David, writes that he's sweeter than honey, yea, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. I talked about that the other week, how I bought my mama on the side of the road here in San Diego. I bought her a little thing of honeycomb. My mama loves that. Ever since she was a little girl in Mexico, she would eat that honeycomb. It's actually the honeycomb. It's like that natural wax that these bees make. It's amazing. And they're all like hexagon shaped, and the honey is stored in there, and you can eat it. And that's what David is talking about. Lord, you are, hallelujah. You're sweeter than that honey, Lord. Your word is sweeter than honey. Yea, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. So you can taste that honey and how sweet it is. And that's what he's talking about. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, that's a little too long of a story to go into, everybody. We'll go and do it next time. But Pastor Clark preached a tremendous message a few years ago when he brought out that portrait of the two eagles falling down, tumbling down the sky. Do you remember that? And he talked about the science and the history about these eagles, how that they only find one mate in life. Think about that. The eagles find one mate in life. And as they get older, they literally do things to renew their youth. What am I talking about? They declaw themselves, the painful process of declawing themselves for the second half of their life, so that new claws will grow out, talons will grow out, so that they can capture their prey and continue to live by, you know, catching their prey and eating it, of course. And then how they literally bang their beaks against a rock, so that they knock their beak out and it's painful and there's blood, but they know they have to do this so that they can grow out their new beak so that it'll last for the second half of their life. So what an amazing thing that it is. And then in that portrait, as they're tumbling down down the sky, they have to do that. And I don't understand the entirety of the reason, but as they're doing that, they lock claws, and this may be part of their... when they find a mate, that mate has to be able to catch them. And then they're tumbling, they lock claws, and there they are tumbling for hundreds and hundreds of feet. This is what this is talking about. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, we can go on and on with that. But I want to go back to verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I know this is sound like it's a little bit all over the map as I put these two verses together, but again, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about us. This is describing us, the church. Yes, we need to be filled with the same vigor, with this same desire, and the same, the first verse we talked about in Colossians, about the peace of God that binds us together into one body. We need to be thankful. Why do we need to be thankful? David reminds us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Everybody, I just want to end with that tonight. Let's remember, we're part of the same body. We all go through the same things, the same situations. But let's remember who our God is, who our King is, who our Redeemer is. And you know what, just as I said that, I just thought of that last night. I was talking to one of my nieces. She came to me in this with all, it's amazing, everybody, what a lot of our youth are going through in recent years. It blows my mind. Who would believe or think that a young person, age 18, 20, 21, 16, goes through traumatic emotional experiences to the extent, to the degree where they literally feel saddened and depressed. When I hear about young people being depressed, I'm like, what are you talking about? Why are you depressed? You haven't even begun with your life. And that's the whole point, everybody. The enemy is trying to get into infiltrating the minds, the souls, the emotions of our young people before they even get to adulthood. He literally wants to take them out. That's what the Bible says. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as I was talking to some of these young people in recent weeks, I told them how that the numbers, you've seen the statistics, the suicide rate between the ages of 12 to 25 in the last 5 to 10 years has literally gone from like 8 to 10% is now literally like 20, 25% or higher. It is mind-boggling what is happening with a lot of our youth. Sad, depressed. I could not believe some of the things that I've been hearing from some of these youth in recent weeks, and it breaks my heart. And look, I can honestly tell you, it's not something that I go through myself. I don't really quite understand the whole entirety of depression. But when I hear about young people going through this, and then when I talk to them, they tell me that a lot of their friends, they get on the phone together, they FaceTime each other, and they almost have like this little, what do you call it when these people, the support groups that come together, you would think they just come together to chat and have a good time. No, they're telling me that they're saying, oh, how you doing? I'm doing okay. I only had 2 or 3 sad bouts this week. I only went through 3 bouts of depression this week. I'm doing okay. And how they face to each other in tears. Look, everybody, I'm going through it right now. I'm going through it. I'm thinking, what are they going through? Well, Uncle Vic or Brother Vic, that they're going through some bad things in their life right now, depression, sadness because of different things. Everyone, and I guess this is why I'm bringing this up tonight. We may not be able to relate or identify with a lot of these things that we're hearing about with some of the younger people, but this is what they're going through. This is what they're dealing with. We need to be thankful, like we read in Colossians. Be thankful for what we have, the peace of God. Let it rule in your hearts. And we need to learn how to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. But let's not just do it for ourselves, everybody. We have a dying world out there full of these young people and older people that are going through things that they don't know how to cope with. They don't know how to deal with these ups and downs. And, you know, Pastor Clark brought this up recently. It's been said that perhaps, maybe, we're not sure about this, but maybe King David had some type of bipolar disorder or extreme, you know, mood swings. And people, theologians and others, saying that because a lot of the things that he writes, he talks about being at the top of the mountain and being down at the lowest point of the valley, but yet he learned how to trust in God. And maybe he did go through that. Maybe he did have some type of emotional disorder. But hey, that's more glory to God. Glory be to God that God was able to rescue someone with these type of extremities in their moods and in their emotions. So, hey, even if, well, but Brother Vic, I don't feel that way. Well, praise God. But even if you do, maybe someone on the call feels that way and going through some things. Well, if King David went through those things, blessed be the name of the Lord, that God was able to teach him, hey, you can still trust in me. I can still help you, even if you go through these mood swings, even if you go through the valley, the depths. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now of emotions, going through the depths of emotions and mood swings. And maybe you are bipolar or medically proven to be bipolar. It doesn't matter, anybody that's on the call, or if you know somebody that's going through some things. I've already spoken to several people in the last several weeks who shared some things, opened up with me experiences that they went through when they were young, as a child, as a teenager, and they can't shake them. They can't. And boy, I didn't even plan on going into all this tonight. I hope this is helping somebody. But they can't shake these things. They don't know how to deal with these things. Well, everybody, I want you to know, you're not weird. You're not a freak. I was just telling someone this last night. You're not a weirdo. You're not a freak. The enemy wants to single you out and make you feel isolated, like, hey, no one feels like you do. You're just weird. You're a freak of nature. You're strange. Well, everybody, we're all the same. We all have the same emotions, the same feelings, and the enemy's going to try to single us out to make us feel like we're weird, we're strange. Well, don't feel that way, anybody. We're all part of the same human experience, and we're all part of the same body of Christ. And even though we're part of the body of Christ, doesn't mean we're going to escape from all these emotions and these feelings and these things that we suffer and go through. Once again, I'm bouncing right back to Psalms 103, verse 2. Look what King David said, who may have had a bipolar disorder, extreme emotions, ups and downs. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's commanding his soul. Hey, soul, you're feeling at the valley, at the depths of the valley right now. But he also wrote somewhere in Psalms chapter 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Ha, think about that. We could talk about that for a little bit. Yea, though I walk through, yes, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, everybody, we're all going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death at some point. Oh, but we can rest assured that I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Boy, we should all know this by memory, but I'm looking at it right now. Verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I have that knowledge, that understanding. You are with me, O Lord, and your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Oh, it sounds like such a simplistic verse that we've heard time and time again. Most of us have memorized it in Sunday school or in Bible studies. But let's get back to this very basic but powerful concept. I'm not alone. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I feel alone, when I feel like I have no one else, I can't feel the presence of God, but I know that I have his rod and his staff with me. What am I talking about? His word, his statutes, his laws, his precepts. That's why King David talks about this. Boy, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to go on and on for a little bit here. But that's what David keeps talking about when he talks about your law. I've fallen in love with your law, O Lord, your statutes, your precepts. I now... hold them near and dear to my heart, because it's not just something in the ether. It's not something out in the air. No, no, they become very real, something like concrete that I can hold fast. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. I love this, everyone. In the presence of mine enemies. It's not you prepare a table before me up on the hilltop, up on the mountaintop, after I've gone through the trial. That now that I've gone through the ups and downs of the emotions that have rattled my body and my mind and my spirit. No, 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 no. He's saying that you, O Lord, have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, in the depths of the valley, in the valley of the shadow of death, while my enemies are looking at me, they're growling, the lions, they're there wishing they could tear me apart. Oh, but in the middle of that scenario, the Lord has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Hallelujah. He's anointed your head with the oil of his spirit, with the oil of his healing. My cup runneth over. Oh, my cup is running over with your blessing. What? You're in the middle of the valley? You're in the middle of suffering? You're in the middle of a test, of a trial? Your enemies are round about you waiting to tear you into pieces? But in the middle of that, you are anointing my head with oil, O Lord, and my cup runneth over. Everybody, why don't we just praise God right now? Oh, I hope you feel the anointing that I'm feeling right now. Why don't we just thank God right now and thank Him that He's able. He can do this. Only He can do what I just read. No one else can do this. Why don't we just thank Him for that? Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word that is real, that is true, that is steadfast. Your rod, hallelujah. And Your staff, they comfort us. We're thanking You for Your Word. We're thanking You, Lord Jesus, because You're with us in the middle of the valley. You're with us in the presence of our enemies. When we're suffering the greatest trial of our life, we know, Lord God, that You've called us out of darkness and into Your marvelous light. We know, Lord, that You've invited us into Your body, one body, and that You've given us of Your peace, that we can let that peace rule, Lord God, in our hearts. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid of what's coming tomorrow, because we know on whom we have believed. Praise God. I hope you feel what I'm feeling, everybody. I move. Hallelujah. This is why we live for God, everybody. We don't have to go back. There's nothing to go back to. We have the anointing of God. We have the peace of God that rules in our hearts. When we have the Word of God, that is the rod and the staff that's going to comfort us in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I feel like opening this up, and I am going to open this. Why don't we just open this up just to hear each other pray? I'm going to open this up right now so that everyone can hear each other pray. Why don't we do that right now? Everyone, let's just be praying together. I'm going to open it up just to hear ourselves pray. Hallelujah.
We thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Why don't
Jesus.
We just thank God?
Thank you for Loren. Thank you for Monique.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we want to remind everybody that we're part of the same body. Somos parte de la misma, mismo cuerpo de Cristo. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody, hope you enjoyed this very different devotion. Remember, you have the Word of God. You have the anointing that's running over you. And you have the protection of the rod and the staff of God with you.
Hallelujah.
God bless all of you. See you all on Wednesday night. In the name of Jesus, amen.